Blog Talk Radio.
There's a peace I've come to know, though my heart and flesh may fail. There's an anchor for my soul. I can say it is well. Jesus has overcome, and the grave is overwhelmed. The victory is won. He is risen from the dead, and I will rise. When he calls my name, no more sorrow, no more pain, I will. There's a day that's drawing near, when this darkness breaks to light, and the shadows disappear, and my faith shall be my eyes. Jesus has overcome, and the grave.
everyone, and welcome to your place. I'm Starla, and tonight we'll be sharing memories of the loved ones that we've lost with Memorial Day approaching. And if you'd like to join in the conversation, just press 1. And now, without further ado, here's our host, Wild Bill.
Hello, Saul. I'm coming to everyone live tonight from Chicago, Illinois. And I was in part of the city there a minute ago that would just as soon have the Army with me traveling through there. It did not look like a part of town that I wanted to be traveling in, but I'm glad to say that I made it to the railroad yard where I was supposed to go and dropped my trailer and trying to look for a place to land while we're doing our show tonight. I hate whenever it comes up to where I'm having to work at the same time the show comes on, especially tonight with the topic like we have on Memorial Day. We've all have loved ones that we've lost, friends, and it's a topic that has a lot of emotion to it. And just want everyone to know that a lot of people don't realize this. You can go to the website and you can go to the Blog Talk Radio for your place, and you can actually download shows to your computer to keep them as part of your memories on things that you share. And you could also download them to an iPod or just whatever that you'd like to use those for. So one of the things that tonight with thinking about this topic was I really got to thinking about how if you're not a person of faith, I wonder how you deal with the loss of a friend or loved one. You know, in your mind, is it like you buy a gallon of milk and you put it in the refrigerator and it has an expiration date, and if you're lucky, it'll make it longer than the expiration date, and if you're not lucky, you know, it goes bad before your expiration date? You know, I just wonder about that. And then on the other side of that, as people of faith, do we really dare to believe what we say we believe? Because when you lose someone that's close to you, the hole that's left in your heart and the missing them all has to do with our feelings. It has to do with us. It doesn't have anything to do with the person. Because if we really believe what we say we believe, talk about we shall rise. Talk about there's not no grave going to hold my body down. When you get to thinking about they're going to a place where there's no more pain, no more sorrow, but more than that, there's no enemy to contend with anymore. There's no having to worry about any of the things that we worried about on this world. And I know this is sort of a bad way to look at this, and I was talking to Jory Ballou earlier today, how that this kind of reminds me life of the game of Dungeons and Dragons. And I know Blog Talk Mom, boy, she really, when she found out I was playing that game in the Army, she just, you know, was telling me all the demonic implications that went along with that. So I'm not trying to play it down, but, and I understand that what the college kids were doing with Dungeons and Dragons, where they were actually becoming characters, was a bad thing. But on the game part of it, just playing it with a board and someone designs a path and everything, you always started out when you went to someone else and they had mapped out this maze for you to work your way through, where you went through the proving grounds. And after that, then you could go on and enjoy things. And I was sitting here thinking, wow, that's what this life is. This is our proving ground. Not so much just to prove ourselves, because nothing we can do is going to make ourselves worthy. But what we're doing is we're proving the love of God. We're proving the creation concept of how he wanted to be able to fellowship with us as his children. And the one scripture that always really just stands out in my mind is where Jesus, you know, said that I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if it were not so, I would have told you. And, you know, that gives me a confidence to know, because I've never heard anything divine. I've never read anything else in the scripture. I've never had anything where there was a move of a spirit to a church service. I've never heard one thing that said that God has sent word that he's changed his mind, that all of a sudden that the plan of what we have to hope for is gone, that is no longer exists. And so with that, I myself choose to dare to believe that when the Almighty God, the one who created heaven and earth, when he said that there's going to be a brighter day, when he said, I made a way of hope for you, I'm going to stand upon that promise and believe that there is a life after this that's so much more abundant than what we could ever, ever ask for. And I'm not wanting to play this down as not being a serious thing, because it is. And I've shared many times how when I lost my dad, all the things that I learned through watching him go through that process. It wasn't my process. It was his process. But I'm not going to sit here and tell you that there's not times that my heart doesn't ache to be able to pick up the phone and call and say, hey, Dad, how you doing today? Or I miss you. Or, hey, guess what happened with me today? You know, I want to share those things. And so I do understand that the hurt and the concepts of what we have to deal with, but I'm not standing upon my emotion. I'm standing upon the real thing, that rock that is an assured thing in my life that I have faith in. Because if I can have faith that the Almighty God robed himself in flesh and he took on my sins so that I could have a way of escape, then I have hope that he has also prepared a place for us, that where he is, someday we can be with him. And I do want to take a moment here. I just found out, and I'm sorry to hear this, that I just lost a sister the other day, Sheila up in Illinois. Many of you have heard her call in. She requested prayer on this show. And from what I understand, she passed away last week. And so part of my heart aches for the family and what they're going through in this time of grief. But another part of me rejoices to know that she's suffering no more pain, that she fought her fight, that she kept her faith, and now it's in the hands of an Almighty God who can do more than we can even think or ask. And so with that part of it, I rejoice with the family to know that there is something going on with her that someday we all hope to achieve. And our prayers are always and will be with this family in their time of loss. And I wanted to give everyone else a chance to try to come in and share things about family. It seems like I listened to the last show and I monopolized most of the conversation. So, Starla, do we have anyone right now that would like to just push one on your phone? Starla will identify you by the last four numbers of your phone number, and you can come online and you can share something about a lost friend or lost loved one in your life. So do we have anyone, Starla?
Not yet.
All right. You've had your chance. Oh, every time when this show comes up, it's, you know, so many things in my life that have impacted me, you know, and I think about how blessed I've been the whole process of my dad. My dad's name was James D. Lively. He lived outside of Murfreesboro, Tennessee, which is right outside of, it's outside of Nashville, it's in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. And he was 100% a man's kind of man. He never took no gruff off anybody or anything. He liked working. He liked providing for his family. That gave him joy like nothing else in this world. And I was thinking today about how someone had told me I wasn't there at the first part of the service. I still hadn't figured out how in the world I managed to get there for the latter part of the service. Dad had went down to this little country church, and he went down to the altar. And for those of you that knew Jim, you knew that he smoked like a freight train. You never saw him without a cigarette, and you never saw him without a cup of coffee. Those were two things that if he could have carried those in with him, he probably would have brought them in there, because that was so much a part of his life. But he went down to an altar one night in a little country church, and I won't ever forget this. One of the people that was there, a friend of ours named Randy McCoy, said that he knew that what happened had changed my dad to a point that he had not seen in a lot of people. And he knew it was real, because he didn't just go outside the church and he threw away his cigarette, but he threw away his cigarette lighter too. And I just feel so blessed to, you know, have those memories to go back on that. And like many of us, Dad had things that came up in his life, and it's funny how words, you live by the words that you say. He made it very clear that he was not going to be a hypocrite. He just was not going to be a hypocrite. He had seen people that he judged to be that way, and that was one of those things that he was not going to allow anyone to say about him. And something happened at work one day, and it made him, that old man came up, made him mad. And he said some things like he would have said before he got in church. And someone threw it back up in his face, so I thought you was a Christian. And the one thing that I know now that it took me years to realize is that we live, that repentance is not just for the sinner. Repentance is for the saint of God walking this path, because we're going to fall down. And we're going to fall down, some of us, a lot. Some of us are going to fall down a lot over the same thing over and over and over again. And when I say that, I'm talking about me. I've been in that situation like, wow, I've really done, you know, good here, done good here. And then you say, you know, like, wow, how in the world could I mess up like I did in this situation here? And the one thing I can tell you for sure, somebody can say one thing a lot tonight. I don't know. I've got one thing on the mind. I guess it's not driving this truck. But one of the things that I learned was that God is faithful to forgive me. He will create within me a clean heart and a right mind so that I don't have a desire to go back into the things of sin in my life again. And but my dad had this concept that he wasn't going to be a hypocrite, and so he just gave up. But I was so blessed to see the experience he had with God and with family up there after he got word that he only had a few months to live. And I remember the scriptures that was all over his wall, and he really liked Johnny Cash. And I remember that they had a lot of the Johnny Cash hymns and things that were playing. And a lot of people don't know the connection with our family and Johnny Cash, but from what I understand, that family, when he was a kid, was sharecroppers in the same area where the Lileys were sharecroppers. They went through the flood where Johnny Cash sings "How High Is the Water, Mom," and everything. And I kept warning Dad to do certain things like I would do it when I'm reaching out to God. And what I learned in this was is that it is 100% a personal thing, because my God spoke to my dad with their relationship. It wasn't a relationship between me and my God. It was a relationship between my dad and his God. And so it was such a beautiful thing to see that whole process. And I can't thank people like Blog Talk Mom for the part she played in all that, and her pastor who came up from Mississippi, and some of the other people from her church that were there to be a part of all that. If you ever end up around Florence, Mississippi, you need to go visit Sister Jean Holland. I'm telling you, I think everybody in that place is a preacher, but they are people that are real, they're down to earth, and I always have found that I really respect someone that when I'm speaking to them or when I shake their hand, they look me in the eye. And that's one of the things that I've always noticed about Sister Holland, is that she has that, she looks you in the eye. You know, it's not just looking away or self-conscious, and she's looking just as much to see if you're going to look away as you are to read to see if she's going to look away from you. And but they came up and was there with us for several days during the time when my dad was seriously ill, and I want to thank them for that. And then I was so blessed. I was there the night my mom called me and said, your dad's, you know, had a real bad night last night, and we had all heard the reports of what kind of death it would be for my dad. And I went up there and I talked to my dad, and he had this one thing he really didn't want to be, where he couldn't control being able to go to the bathroom. He didn't want it to be where he couldn't control being modest. Those things were real important to him. He may have grew up in a country around Bigelow, Arkansas, but that was one of the things in our household. When you got up in the daytime, you put on clothes. you didn't walk around in pajamas. You didn't wander around the house in your underwear. You didn't walk around the house with a towel wrapped around you. You got dressed. You went to the bathroom. You carried clothes in there with you, and you come out dressed. It wasn't no, you know, walking around in disrespect. And to him, it was disrespectful to do anything less than that. And so it was important to him that those things not be in his life. And the reports we got from the doctor was that those things wouldn't happen, that he would not be able to maintain those things in his life towards the end. And they painted a picture of just how horrible it was going to be. And none of those things happened. I asked Dad if I could call my sister to be there because he so didn't want her to have a bad image. And he's like, good thinking. Give her a call. And so I did. And so we spent the whole day with him, and some of his other friends came over. And I remember he said he wanted some ice cream. And, you know, I knew. Somehow I just knew that this was my last day to be able to be with my dad. And I remember I went to the drugstore, and I probably bought about $100 worth of ice cream. I got every one of the flavors I had of the little pints of ice cream that he used to eat that had the real fruit in it. And then just on the spur of the moment, I grabbed ice cream sandwiches because I remember my dad used to love ice cream sandwiches. And so we were showing him everything he had, and I was like, yeah, that's what I want right there. That's larrapin. And for those of you from parts of the country who don't know what it is, something is larrapin good, that means it is really, really good. And that's sort of a word that's not used much anymore. But anyway, Mom and my sister had went off in the back room to talk. And we were all dealing with what we saw coming in different ways. And Dad sat down across from me, and he ate that ice cream sandwich. And I will never forget this. He was giving me advice on how to deal with issues with my children. He was, to the end, trying to help me be the fix-it. You know, he was the one that was facing death, but he was still there for me. And it was probably less than an hour later that he was gone. He wasn't there with us anymore. And so I remember how I felt so ripped. I remember how helpless, because he was a man of such strength. He wasn't a great big man, but he was strong like you wouldn't believe. And I never had any fear of anything when he was around. I remember when he was teaching me to ride a bicycle, I went up over an overpass, and we were coming down the other side. And we had just taken my training wheels off, and I wasn't very big. I don't know how old I was. I'm guessing 5 or 6, but my tire hit a rock and turned my bicycle to the side, and it took off rolling towards the chain link fence at the bottom of this big hill on the side of an overpass that went, you know, that it would have hurt me bad to have hit that. But I never had any fear. I could hear Dad with them big old feet, clomp, 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 chasing me down through there, and I never let go of that bicycle. I had the brake locked on it as hard as I could, and the bicycle was gaining speed, and just before I got to the fence, he picked up bicycle me and all and rescued me. And I've always had that feeling with him, to know that nothing or nobody was ever going to mess with me while he was around. And the other side of that was that, you know, it was always important for him for us to be respectful of him and Mom. And he used to always tell me, you know, Mom used to say, don't fight. You know, fighting is bad, and don't do that stuff at school. And Dad used to say, hey, there's one thing. If someone ever says anything about your mom or, you know, makes any comments or anything, you got my permission. That's one of those things where I'll take up with you with your mom. You know, you step up in there, and you don't let anyone say anything bad about your mother. And it's funny how those things come to mind when you go back and get to thinking about, you know, your family that's gone. And I don't want to monopolize the whole show. Anyone that has anything that they want to talk about their loved ones or add, just push 1 anytime. And I promise I'll take a breath and I'll quit talking, and I will allow you to come in and share some memories of your family or your friends or loved ones that have passed on. Do we have anyone at this time, Starla?
Well, Sister Kaiser and Blog Talk Mom both have their hand up.
Okay, so. Well, just pick one and let them rip, Tater Chip.
Well, Blog Talk Mom has had her hand up the whole show, so.
Okay.
Well, I won't take a lot of time either. I appreciate what you said, Wild Bill, and it's good that you're having the program. I do appreciate y'all so much and for the attitude that you have about your dad. And, you know, a lot of times in counseling and meeting with people, they don't have good memories or respect. And Jim sure taught us the things you were talking about. So I'm not going to – I'll just be in the background. Let Sis Kaiser, she's got some really good things she wants to share, and several other people told me they were going to call, so I'll just stay in the background.
Well, you don't want to have anything to share. I mean, I say recently. It's funny how time flies when you get old.
But,
you know, we recently lost my grandmother and your mother, which – how recent ago was that now, was it? I'm awful with dates and times.
I think it was 2005. And but I at 70, you know, everything there's a time, and to everything there's a season. So the word of God says, and there are times that you don't really know why, but someone that's passed on will seem very real to you. You may run across a picture, or you know, a situation where something that they did was very important in molding your life. And you remember them, and you sift through those memories. And the older you get, the more positive the memories are. If for no other reason, you begin to walk more and more through your own experiences. And but I do. I love my mom, my dad, and Jim. I loved him. I lived with him 38 years, and I loved him very, very much. And I just, I guess the most grief I ever felt was when they called and said that my brother had died. And grief, I think, is connected a lot of times with maybe unfinished business in your life, things that the what-ifs and the if-onlys that we have with situations. But we have to reconcile those things. And I do know that the what-ifs and the if-onlys have caused me to be much more tender to people that come to me with those same questions. So I have some precious memories from my family.
That is true. And we were blessed to be able to be there, you know, with Granny through the whole process of her last days in the hospital and everything. And, you know, I feel, you know, so blessed to have been able to have been a part of that. And Starla told me a joke today, and I got so tickled because it was when Granny had a joke that was funny to her, she would tell it over and over and over. She had this way, she just chuckled just so big whenever something tickled her, and I was just remembering that. And it's just, those are the things that we miss, you know, the part of us, of them being there. Plus the things that amaze me is how much I look back now and say, that's what they were trying to tell me. Man,
right.
Now I understand. And I'm like, why couldn't I understand that before so I could let them know that I wasn't such a big dummy after all, that I was listening, and it just did not make sense to me, but it makes big sense to me now. You know, I understand some of the concepts of where they were coming from, you know, with dealing with anything from business to dealing with people to, you know, everything. And it just, that part of it, just like, wow, I just wished I could let them know. But those are big things to us now, but those are small things to them.
Sister Kaiser, do you have something to share?
Yes, thank you. It's good to be on the radio again. And I thank Sarah Moore and Sister for listening. Can you hear me now?
Yes, I hear you.
Okay. About mothers, we want to remember the family. I don't know if y'all have already mentioned her, Sheila. The lady had the cancer. She did pass away, and so now we've got a man without a wife and a 13-year-old boy without a mother. As you were mentioning about mothers and doing great things, she was the stabilizing factor of that whole household, and so we're going to offer our prayers to the Howell family. And also to in remembrance of my mother, Abraham Lincoln said one time, he said, everything I am or ever hope to be, I owe it all to my mother. We do understand that he was talking about his stepmother because his mother died. He was only just a very, 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 very young baby. But anyway, the woman in his life called mother, made him the man of integrity that he was. But with me, it was my mother. I love my daddy, but my daddy never took me to church. My daddy never prayed with me. My daddy never taught me anything spiritually. He taught me a lot of things naturally, like how to read a tape measure correctly. He taught me how to do carpentry. He taught me how to do a lot of mechanical things. He taught me how to plow a mule, how to put the single tree on. He taught me a lot of things. But when it came down to survival, it was my mother and her spirituality, her love for God, taking us to church when we had to walk 6 miles to church, 6 miles home. We had a Christian school. We walked 6 miles to school, 6 miles home. And my mother was always there. And there's nothing like on a cold, cold Mississippi, very, very cold afternoon to get off the bus and see that the kitchen windows are fogged up. You know something's cooking right then. So I thank the Lord for the mother, although she had no mother. Her mother died, her passed while she was being born. And my papa raised her by himself until she was almost 6 years old. And she only weighed a pound and a half at birth, and he kept her alive in the 1920s. With a medicine dropper, and that's how he fed her and kept her between. There was no such thing as incubators then, but he kept her between feather mattresses, and she turned out to be an awesome lady of God and bore 6 children and had them almost practically by herself. So I'm indebted to somebody who really loved Jesus and had fallen in love with him and received the great Holy Ghost. And I don't know if that's going on with your whole theme tonight, but. Somebody sent me a text message and I had to answer that. But anyway, I was a little bit late getting in, but I want you to know we appreciate the things you're doing and keeping this thing going because it's an outlet. It's also a great thing of help and instruction, and I appreciate y'all doing that. So I give honor to my mother who's been gone 22 years, but sometimes it's just like she's right beside me because of
all
the knowledge.
Would you like to hear a specific story of something when you were growing up or something, you know, with your mother that really stands out to you tonight?
Well, there's a lot of them, but I'll just share this one thing. We were very, very, very poor. My dad had no skills as far as a job market. But one time we worked in the fields all day long, and he was not home that week. But we had been finishing all the harvesting. We had no breakfast. We had a gallon of water in a plastic jug under the tree for our dinner. And it comes time for supper time. Mother called us to the kitchen, told us to wash up, and set the table, put the plates on the table. You know, we thought we were getting ready to eat. And they had the water in the glasses, had all set. After a while, she came in. She said, girls, go ahead and get ready for bed because, she said, I don't have anything to cook. So we're just going to pray and sing. So we all got dressed for bed. And every night in our home, we had singing and prayer every night. So we really prayed for something to eat, what I was praying for. But we had singing. And when mother was getting ready to put us to bed, we had no car, we had no telephone, surely no cell phone, nothing like that, nothing new like that. And at 9:15, there was a knock on our door, and it was a lady from our church. And my mother also was a midwife. And so they said, she said, Sister Christine, does somebody need me? She said, oh, no. And this lady was a powerhouse for God. She stepped across that threshold, and she began to feel the Holy Ghost, and she told my mother, she said, I was down praying, and God told me you had nothing to feed these kids. And not only did she bring boxes of food and staple items, she stayed and helped my mother prepare a meal for all of us, all 6 of us, 7 including her.
Wow.
So to me, that stands out in my mind as what Christianity is all about.
Yes. Ooh, that's an awesome story to share, Sister Kaiser.
Well, I want to tell you, I told your mother a lot of things about my mother and a lot of things we had. I really should put out a book because we've got notable, and, I mean, there's a certified miracles in our family of many, many things that God has done. And so I'm just, you know, God just put me in the right place at the right time to receive all those miracles.
I think a lot of our ministers today that ought to write books about things in their life, the things that you've been through, and then like Dr. Shiel, some of that I grew up as a teenager and got to actually witness some of the things that he went through in his life, and I thought, wow, it would be just so inspiring for people to think that just because, you know, you're living like you're supposed to live, that everything goes just the way you want it to go. It's just like walking along on rose petals. It's not exactly how the whole thing works. The people
like
that you try to lean on, you know, they turn against you, and, you know, there's times where it's just God.
Well, after I started preaching, I had it easy because nobody was using women preachers hardly at all. But God kept me going all those years. But this one woman, she said, "I wish I could be Linda Kaiser just one night." I said, "Pardon me?" And she said, "Well, why would you say that?" She said, "Because you're always in the limelight." I mean, and just like that, God gave me an answer. I said, "Well, I'll tell you what, sister, it's more line than it is light." But you have a good and the bad and the ugly, they say. So.
Well, really, well, we appreciate you calling in. Did you have anything else that you felt like you really wanted to share? I was telling everyone, these programs, you can go to the website, you can download these, you can load them to an iPod, and so these can be things to pass on to other family. You can attach them to emails and things. So, you know, every year around Memorial Day, and we usually do it more than just them. We want people just to have a chance, you know, to record, you know, a memory that stands out about their lost loved ones or even lost friends.
While Bill?
Yes.
While Reverend Kaiser was telling that story, I know you've heard this, but excuse me, I'd like to share this about my mom, about your grandmother. When she was little, she was the oldest of six children, well, five, and then her mom was expecting another child. And my grandfather, who was just well-respected in the whole area, he was a very, very brilliant man. And it was during the Depression. It was horrible, horrible times. And he went out. My grandmother couldn't read or write, I don't believe. But my grandfather went out to help someone at the wagon. Something had happened, and he got wet. It was raining. And then within a week, he died. He was in his 30s. And so mother was left with the oldest of all these children, and then a new baby to be born, and she took care of all of them. I mean, she was just a little bitty thing, just a little tiny person, but she went through, in her lifetime, more opposition than anyone that I've ever heard of. She helped take care of her mother, take care of the babies, though one baby died, and then they moved, and it was ironic. They moved to BB, Arkansas, and mother continued to take care of them and to just do anything and everything that she needed to do to make sure that the children were taken care of. She worked in homes. She cleaned. She did any work in fields, did anything that would bring any money. Then she married Daddy, thinking, oh, boy, you know, this is going to be, you know, a helpmate, which Daddy was an awesome helpmate, but Mother was the oldest of that family and had gone through great hardship. Daddy was the youngest of a big family and was spoiled rotten. And so when they married, it was cute how she tells the story of how things transpired, but they lived upstairs with these people. There was only one bathroom, and there was 20-something people, I think she said, lived in this. They lived in the attic. And the hardships that she went through, she tells those stories of how she determined, after washing and ironing for people, and they didn't have automatic washers and dryers, so it was very difficult, helping people can and working in the fields, taking care of other people's children. And she determined in her heart that she couldn't read or write, I don't think, Mother. She had to quit school to help take care of the little kids. But when I started the school, Mother really started working on learning to read and write. And Daddy was sick. He had several stroke, had tuberculosis right during the war, right in 1940s, World War II. She worked in a ammunition plant and took care of us and managed everything. And then later on in life, when they got back on their feet and bought property, she was an entrepreneur she knew how to do things that other people found out later on. and she would buy a piece of property that needed cosmetic work on it, nothing big, you know, not plumbing and that kind of stuff. And then she'd hire somebody for almost nothing and then didn't pay them. No, I mean, she knew how to get really cheap work done, and she'd fix it up and sell it for two or three times the price that she had paid for it. And then Daddy was stricken with strokes. He was sick for 18 years, and she still, the proudest look I've ever seen on her face was when she was telling us that when she passed away that she was going to leave something to her, you know, to you and to me and to my brother. And it not, you know, she wanted me to make sure that everybody got something so that she would be remembered because she overcame all of that poverty, and it would be a lesson to us. It didn't work too good with me. I can't hold on to money. But I just think she's one of the most remarkable people. And my dad never, through strokes, through losses that were unbelievable, he could still laugh and make the very best of the worst situations. So we got a lot of grand examples in our life.
Yes, that's so true. I kept thinking, you know, I don't know why I thought that, you know, people, you look at things that people make important in their life, and with Granny, I always thought that it was money. But looking back, and even at the point where she died, I realized that wasn't what it was all about. She just wanted to make sure that she could help, you know, take care of her family. The same thing. She wanted to make sure there was enough nest egg here, so if there was some kind of emergency, and like you, I had plenty of those in my life where Granny had to come to the rescue. And she was, you know, she was so quick to do that. And she was very aware of the value of a dollar. You know, if you worked for her, you was going to work what she thought that what the value of the dollar was. It wasn't one of those things that you just got by, you know, lucky and stuff. And I remember she had this thing set up at the Goodwill where she could go back and she paid someone up there like $5 or $10, and she got to go back in the back to sort through the stuff that they were cleaning and processing before it was put out on the floor. And all she was, it'd be like a scavenger hunt for her to go in there and find a doll that she knew, you know, had more value to it than what they were going to sell it for there, or maybe a China doll or, you know, glassware.
It was so cute.
She'd buy it for a quarter and turn around and sell it for $100 and all that. Just guess what I did. You know, she'd call her, guess what I did today. You know, guess how much money I made. It just, that never ended all the way up to the end. When she was in that high rise, she managed somehow or another to get not just her storage place, but she had somebody else's too, so she could still do all that buying and selling, you know, while she was up there in that high rise building. So that was something that was in her. She wasn't going to be that little girl having to suffer and do without again. That's what it all came down to.
Amen.
Do we have anybody else, Starla?
Well, Rocky's had his hand up for a long time. Rocky, are you still there?
Hey, I'm still here. How y'all?
How
y'all doing?
How are you?
Good.
I'm doing good, Tired, but I'm okay. I really enjoyed the stories I heard tonight. I mean, Sister Kaiser, that story she told is really, really touching to me. And you're talking about your subject tonight, y'all had. You know, my grandmother raised me. That was my mother. And to me, it's like I gave your mother a Mother's Day card. To me, your mother is like a mother that I never had. So I just want to tell you, you have a wonderful mother.
Well, thank you.
Amen.
You know, she's taught me a lot. But as far as, you know, losing people, my grandmother, she died about 13 years ago, back in the time when I was still doing my drugs and alcohol. And she never went to church, but she always had time to call me and pray for me. I called her, she always wanted to pray for me, and I feel that, you know, God knew her purpose in life, and that was to take care of her grandkids. But I had my grandfather was a Pentecostal preacher for 45 years. And I think that's what kind of led me to the church I'm at now, in Jesus' Name Tabernacle in Florence. And things he's taught me, you know, throughout my life before he passed away, you know, respecting each other, respecting our parents, you know. And like I said again, I just can't say enough about your mother. I mean, I just give her glory. I know I'm going on, but I can't stop saying how wonderful she is.
Did you hear her in the background a minute ago? She said amen when you said that.
She is awesome. She is awesome. But, you know, I'm just proud to know that I have people in my life that have passed away now, but that has stored so much on me. I had a couple that I told you a while back when I first started calling in that took me in and gave me clothes and food, and they talked to me and told me about the Holy Ghost. I didn't know what the Holy Ghost was. I was wild. And I went to the altar at Jesus Name Tabernacle, and Sister Nancy Nolan, she came up there and she said, "Son, we're gonna pray through." And they went 5 seconds. I started speaking in tongues and shouting, and I thought I was there about 10 minutes, and I was there for an hour. And it just so much been stored upon me on that, and the relationship, you know, with the passings that I had. You know, you was talking about, you know, a man gonna quit smoking. You can tell by when he takes his cigarettes down, but if he throws a cigarette lighter away, you know he's gonna quit. Well,
yeah.
I threw everything away. That was the same way.
You're really an inspiration when you call in and share some of this stuff, Brother Rocky. And, you know, one of the things that I don't have to tell you is it's so important to surround yourself with people that you can look up to. And sometimes, I know for sure with Blog Talk Mom, she won't just tell you what you want to hear. Sometimes she'll tell you what you don't want to hear. But it's always
amen.
For your good. You know, and
oh, yes.
One of the things that she's learned is that even with your intentions are in a situation where you're thinking you're going to do good, she's aware that there are certain situations in that you just have to stay away from completely. And I'm not talking
right.
about you there. I'm talking about my life. And so
right.
many of those things, there again, when she would try to tell me at that time, I couldn't hear it. But looking back later, I thought, wow, man, she was on the mark. But, you know,
right.
I don't know if it's because of being your parent or because we all have this thing of wanting to be in control of our life, which is really funny because we're really in control of very little to do with our life. You know, we are.
That's right.
We can make a decision to live for God or we're basically serving Satan. I mean, there's not a whole lot of choice in between there. To me,
that's
it's
right.
black and white that way. So, but I do appreciate you calling our show. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I'm sorry, but when I got out of church, I received the Holy Ghost and I stayed in church a couple of years. I got out, we're putting that children's home. I felt the emptiness and I got married later on and I used an excuse that my wife didn't go to church, so I'm not going to go. But then I realized one day with my eyes up, you know, God was calling me back. God had a purpose for me. God needed me to do something for him. And I'm just so thankful that I'm back in church and that I'm living for God. I'm doing his will. And, you know, I'm still young in Christ. I'm still learning, you know, and, you know, even as far as the words of the Bible right now, but I'm still learning. But it's just inspiration to know that I have, like I said again, it goes back to your mother. She takes the time with me, and she'll explain to me things, and she'll show things. She sees things in me that nobody else will see. And she tells me, you know, I know you live for God. And, you know, that's just amazing.
Yeah, she told me the other night that she thought you was moving into a new use of the gifts of the Spirit. There, I guess it was, I'm not sure if it was at the church or there with the clubhouse. It's awesome to hear you're growing into, you know, new and greater things in your life.
Yes, sir.
Did you have anything else, a specific story about a loved one you wanted to share?
That's about it. I really appreciate it and everything I do on here, and it's really an inspiration. I call every week. I'm on that call in, you know, punch in, but it's just, I get a blessing every time I hear y'all's program.
Well, I appreciate that. And when you're an inspiration to us, too, we appreciate you calling in. And just, you know, keep standing up, walking forward, and keeping your head straight. And you listen to Sister Kaiser and Blog Talk Mom and your pastor there and all the other ministers in your church. And I guarantee you, one thing about it, when you get in church, you may have only had one set of parents. You know, when you're a kid, you get in church, you got a bunch of parents. I mean,
oh yeah,
they're keeping up with you going. You know how you're doing everything. So I know as a kid, I had that thing happen. I remember one time I got stopped by the police, and they carried me up to the police station because I was hot riding my car, And I don't know how many people from the church called up there to check on me, and a whole bunch of them came in. It was a little bit of a small town there in BB. And it was funny, the only reason the police department brought me up there is they wanted me to tell them about some of the people that was helping me work on my car, what was going on at their house. But still, and my legal name is different from the name that I use. So a lot of people was asking for Richie Lively, and because that's what they knew me as, but my legal name was Bill Mullinax, and the policeman was looking at my license. He's like, no, we don't have no Richie Lively here. I'm like, yeah, you do. That's me. So it's kind of funny that, you know, all those people, you know, were there because they was concerned. And it was a small town, and it didn't take long for everybody to know that, hey, something's going on. He's up at the police station, you know, and so they just wanted to help take care of me. So you got that same situation there, so take advantage of it. So,
well, y'all have a good night.
Oh, right, you too. Thank you for calling.
Bye-bye.
Well, he doesn't have his hand raised, but I'd like to acknowledge Bill. He wasn't listening at the time that you were. We're just so sorry for your loss, Bill, and our prayers are with you.
Thank you.
Anyway, we just appreciate you all listening in.
And we know that words sound so empty because they don't bring back the hole in your heart from the person that was your partner. I've not lost a wife. I've lost grandparents and my dad, and, you know, I've lost some close friends. But, your partner in life, I watched, you know, my mother go through that, and I watched my grandparents, you know, go through that whole process. But I've not had to endure that yet. And just from the loss that I've had before the experience, I know, I tell my wife all the time that I have to go first. I know that that's not one of those things that I can handle. And so I don't want it to be to where it just sounds like, you know, we're just, you know, telling you we're praying for you. I want you to know we are really, really praying for you. We are really so sorry, you know, for your loss and everything. And we do appreciate so much you and your wife taking the time to call this program. And if there's anything that you would like to share with us, maybe something about, you know, past experience, you know, with your wife, if you feel comfortable doing that, we'd like to have you come on the show. If you don't feel like doing that tonight, we understand. But the floor is open to you. If you'd like to do that, just push one on your phone, and you can have the floor. Do we have anyone else, Starla, that has anything, if Bill doesn't feel comfortable to come on the show tonight?
No.
I'm surprised that Joy Bells didn't call in. This is usually one of her favorite shows to call. And I was really surprised. I had sent out a message to Amy Hanna, and she is a very, very strong person of faith. And I knew her parents in the church that I went to there in BB, and Brother George and Sister Mary were, they just, I can't put into words how I felt about them. And Brother George, I used to always think of what their relationship between him and Sister Mary as the perfect couple. And I don't know why, but that was just an image I had in my mind. And there's different books that I've read where it talks about the old camp meetings and things, and they had this person that sang, and it drew people from far and wide to the tent services and things to come hear her sing. And that was Sister Mary. Sister Mary Hanna, I mean, when she got done, her and Sister Shield would sing chorus after chorus after chorus for our song service. And there was such an anointing. It wasn't just beautiful, powerful singing. There was such an anointing in her singing because she was doing it with all that was within her. And I was hoping to be able to get a soundtrack or something for Sister Mary. I wanted to play it on the show, but she passed away a few years back. And, you know, I can't imagine the impact in that church because she was such a key part of the foundation of that church when it was being built. and the structure of the worship and everything, a lot of it was centered around her. But I've heard some recordings of Amy and Terry, their other daughter, and they sound so much like their mother. It's like, okay, Act 2 and Act 3 of Sister Mary there, which I know they're individuals and they got their own thing, but they mimic the same kind of style of singing that she had that, to me, had so much anointing to it. And I was hoping that she would share some of the stories about Sister Mary. Blog Talk Mom, do you have a story on Sister Mary that you could share with us, or Sister Kaiser, either one of y'all?
Well, I really appreciated and admired Sister Mary. As talented, she was so cute. She was, as you mentioned, extremely talented and could have, I mean, I don't know any singer that was any better. Without any training, she was just a naturally powerful singer. And then with the anointing, she could just, God could just really use her. But she wanted me to sing in the choir one time. And the choir song, I can't remember the name of it now, You Got to Have the Holy Ghost, I think. And she came to me, she said, "Now, Sister Lively, it's not that you sing good." She said, and I thought, well, thanks. But she went on to say, she says, "Not that you can sing good, but the Lord really uses you." And I thought, well, I guess that's a compliment. I'd better have the one than the other. But she was a remarkable person and fought a lot. She had epilepsy when she was younger. She was healed of that. She was a very obedient person to the ministry and stood with Brother Shield when they've got pictures of their little street service where there was just a few of them. She's just a young girl, and consecrated her life to God and was probably one of the most powerful influences in apostolic ranks. I really, really dearly love her. And as you mentioned, her daughter, would, if she would come on Amy sometime and give her testimony of how she lost her mother, who was one of probably the most closest, wonderful influence in her life, and then after that, she was in a car accident, and it was, I don't know how many surgeries and how much pain and suffering. But she came through all of that and is one of the most anointed women preachers that I've, or just anointed preachers, and she is a woman. And she sings, and God uses her in the gifts, healings. She's a remarkable person. I know her mother would be so thrilled if she could have seen how God's blessed her daughters and her family. And I do was looking in the Bible about just looked at memorial, and the only scriptures that were in the New Testament that used that word were about the lady that broke the alabaster box and worshiped the Lord. And he said, this will, wherever this gospel is told, that this will be told what she has done as a memorial to her. So there is no greater thing. You know, I've made horrible mistakes, and other people, may, you know, I've talked to that you wish, you regret. You know, we have regrets, but if we just serve God, then that will come up before God as a memorial and before others. Turn all of our brokenness over to Him, and He can redeem it and make it pure and clean and work together.
Amen. I appreciate that. We're getting down here to the end of our show. I want to thank all of you who keeps calling in, and want to remind all of you to keep remembering Bill and his family in prayer. Also, for those of you that want to help with what's going on in Haiti, we're still taking up money for the Bibles. And Starla, can you tell everyone the address that they can send that to?
Yes, it's Life Change Ministries, 1316 Huffines Ridge Drive, Huffines, Franklin, Tennessee, 37067.
All right, well, we're at the end of our show time here. Again, I want to thank all of you who called in and shared with us, and we'll be back with you next week, and I just pray that God bless you all. I'll be in all of our prayers. Y'all have a good night.